Log Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, joined by my phenomenal powerhouse team and co-host, Mr. Billy Miller, the motivational minister, and Dr. Ayo Kedar, the natural Zen diva. You know, it is a snowy day here in Atlanta and in many parts around the country, so we are definitely enjoying this weather for the most part. I know I am, and I hope that you guys are all enjoying it as well and are at least being safe. But again, this is another phenomenal night, another time to have another mind-shifting discussion, another mind-shifting topic. And for those of you that may have missed the show last week, all I can say is you have got, if that is right, to go back to Mind Shift Talk Radio and listen to the replay of that show. It was out of this world. We had our Mind Shift MVPs, as we call them, on the line last week. And basically what we did is we had some of our favorite speakers and guests from 2010 join us last week. And so we did our reflections, and we just shared our experiences from 2010, discussed what that year meant for us, and also we shared encouraging words for you going into this new year on how to prepare to win. And so tonight's conversation is pretty much a continuation of that theme from last week. We don't have all of those speakers calling in this week, but we are going to go ahead and just share our own experiences and give you guys a little bit of this, I guess, the original mind shift flavor. For those of you that have listened to us from day one, you know, initially when we first started, it was just Billy, Ayo, and myself, and just sharing our different perspectives, our different experiences. And the whole point and the whole purpose of Mind Shift Talk Radio is for us to come together, different backgrounds, different experiences, to share our perspective and our experiences to be able to give you a whole different spectrum, I guess, is the best way for me to phrase this, for you to be able to look at things from a different perspective, for you to be able to see things outside of the box, and just to get you to expand your views as well as your mind. And so we encourage you, when you listen to this show, again, you want to have an open mind because you may hear some things that you never thought about before or that you may not necessarily agree with. But we do hope that by the end of the show, you will have a different perspective on many topics and discussions that we have. So we thank you guys for listening in and for tuning in tonight, despite the inclement weather or whatever else may be going on. But we guarantee this is going to be another phenomenal show in the lineup. And this show, again, is about how to win big in 2011. Now, of course, just because it's called How to Win Big in 2011 doesn't mean that the principles that we'll discuss only apply to this year, but we basically want to give you the foundation to get the momentum going to have a brilliant year and a prosperous year and a productive year in 2011. So as always, you want to have a notepad, piece of paper, and if you're not able to write right now, make sure that you go back online to listen to the replay because there will be tons of information shared that you'll want to be able to get. Also, if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. You can reach us at area code 347-989-0206. So we will be taking calls, questions, comments, concerns tonight. And if you're not comfortable calling in, you're always welcome to join us in the chat room at Mind Shift Talk Radio. So we're going to go ahead and get the ball rolling. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about every different area in terms of success. We're going to talk about that spiritual growth. We're going to talk about that physical and mental growth as well. So we're touching on everything tonight. So Billy, of course, being our motivational minister, is going to talk about that spiritual piece and share those spiritual nuggets that will help you grow in that area. Dr. Ayo is going to talk about health, whether it's mental health or physical health. And then I'll go ahead and share the mind-shifting information as far as the renewal of the mind. So without any further ado, Dr. Ayo, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
name that I still don't have my. It's so amazing. It's been so many weeks that I, you know, came over that laryngitis, and I still don't have my full woo-hoo-hoo all the way. Like, it's not, it's still not right. But anyways, guys, another great addition tonight. So glad to be here. How to win big in your health in 2011. Okay, so this is so awesome because how I share and how I look at health, it's from a holistic standpoint. So meaning it's your mind, your body, and your soul has to be functioning and at an optimal level for you to be at your best. So that's why for us to have this super purifier combination of Stacey Emery hitting you with, bumping you over the head with your mind, and Billy Miller, the motivational minister who's going to get to the heart of your spirit. And then for me to be on here to talk about your health, it's like, whoa, you guys just don't know. Y'all getting like an awesome benefit for your money, which is, I think it was free for y'all to be listening to this. So I'm really excited about that. So anyway, really quick, because we don't have that much time, I want to jump in and give you guys my top, just the top few things that I think you all need to be aware of this year and just make a conscious decision to make some baby steps, to make some changes in your life, so regarding your health. So number one, is to stay away from this. And number one, of course, is going to be soda, okay? Just consider this a turbocharged aging potion. You know, it's like a nearly perfected, engineered substance to dehydrate your body because it's loaded with sugar, loaded with high fructose corn syrup. I know the evidence goes back and forth with the high fructose corn syrup as if it's, you know, is it really that bad for you? But guys, I'll just say, you know, anything that man has to manipulate to make a certain way, this year I'm striving to eliminate more and more from my diet. And the tricky thing about that high fructose corn syrup is if you become a label reader, which I encourage you this year to become a label reader, that you will be surprised by how much high fructose corn syrup is in everything. I mean, it's just completely insane how it's in everything. Start reading the label and keep going down, and you're going to see it says high fructose corn syrup. And so the companies, because they went through that whole scare last year of educating the public on the dangers of high fructose corn syrup, now they might just say corn syrup. It might not say high fructose corn syrup. But at the end of the day, it's all the same. It's garbage. Leave it alone. So definitely stay away from the sodas this year, okay? Mm-hmm. My next tip is to eat less processed foods. Now, guys, I know it's so easy, and as a mom, I mean, the cold cuts, you know, my husband, when he doesn't see cold cuts in the fridge, he's like, what's going on? Like, what's up? Where's the deli meat? Okay, like, but really and truly, we know it's so convenient, it's so easy. But, guys, it's loaded with salt, not to mention the nitrates. Again, another thing that the evidence goes back and forth from of, is it, you know, are nitrates really linked to, you know, cancer and all that type of stuff? But, you know, one thing that I found, and I really think it's interesting, that our government is so wonderful, the Food and Drug Administration, and I just want to encourage you guys, when you think about food, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, guys, this is a pharmacist telling you guys, food and drug, why are they even together? Okay? They might be in cahoots with each other. I'm just putting that out there that they might be working together, that when we start getting educated about what's in our food and we start asking questions about what type of preservatives that they're spraying on our fruits and vegetables, you know, what in the long run, what are these preservatives going to do to us? And they start coming up with, everything's okay, you don't have to worry about that. Me personally, I start to worry about that. So we're a little bit past praying over our food, okay, because they're putting a lot of poisons in our foods. And, yes, what I'm saying, you know, might sound a little harsh to some, but I just want to encourage you guys to take baby steps to make changes. So at least start to eat less processed foods. So you got that deli meat in the fridge, that's cool, but maybe you don't have a sandwich every day, or maybe you just limit it to twice a week that you have a cold cut sandwich, okay? Keep in mind that our goal for sodium, okay, is less than 2,400 milligrams of sodium a day. And the thing about it is it's so easy to get to that level of your sodium content. If you're eating these soups, you're trying to be healthy and you grab some of these soups, guys, read the label, 700, 800 milligrams of salt in one little serving of soup. So I really, really want you all to make sure this year that you become conscious of actually taking a few minutes to read the label. You know, I always talk about how we're in such a rushed society. We're so rushed. We got to keep moving. We got to keep going. We don't even have time to make a conscious effort and make a conscious decision about what we're putting in our body. So I really, and I mean, I find myself the same way. I go to the grocery store and I'm rushing and I decide, oh, okay, you know, I'm not going to read the label. And then I come home and I end up with something and I start reading the label when I'm at home and I'm like, oh, corn syrup solids, you know, crazy amounts on the sodium. So 2,400 milligrams is 2,400 milligrams a day is your goal for sodium. With that, fiber, okay? I want everyone to try and get more fiber in your diet. Now, the thing about it is the things that I'm saying are, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You know, we already have an innate sense when we know we're putting garbage into our bodies, right? A part of you already knows it. So you have to make the conscious decision to say, you know what? My spirit is stronger than my flesh, and I'm going to say no to put in that garbage in my body. So I know it's the beginning of the year, so I know a lot of folks out there are doing the Daniel's diet. So, you know, this is what I'm talking about here where, so fiber, as far as your fiber level, 25 grams of fiber each day. This is another one where you need to be tracking your fiber. You know, an apple has 4 grams of fiber in it. A pear has 4 grams of fiber. A banana has 3 grams of fiber. So you can get there simply by eating the things that you know you should be eating, which is fruits and vegetables, okay? Eating more fruits and vegetables. So definitely those are things that I, you know, just starting off that I want you all to be aware of. Now, a bonus of fiber is the American Heart Association actually says that if you reach your goal of at least 25 grams of fiber each day, that you can lose at least 1 pound a month. Okay, so what an easy way to lose weight. Just a pound a month doesn't sound like much, but just for simply eating how I'm supposed to eat, I could lose weight. Like, whoa, push the easy button. So those are so stay away from soda, eat less processed foods, watch your sodium content, make sure you're increasing the amount of fiber each day. And naturally, since you're increasing fiber, what am I going to say next? I know you guys know what I'm about to say next. Drink water. If you're eating 25 grams of fiber, you have to drink water. Because what's going to happen is you're increasing your fiber content, and instead of feeling better, you're going to feel worse because you're not drinking any water. Now, think about it like, let's do a little scientific experiment because I'm a visual person. So think of if you grab a little, you know, some fiber, some Metamucil or what have you, and you pour it into just a little bit of water, what happens to the fiber? It just thickens up, right? It becomes a slush. It's nice and thick. It doesn't move. Well, think of that in your colon. That's what fiber does in your intestines. If you don't provide enough water for it to go through your system, it's the same concept. So you have to make sure you're drinking lots of water with that fiber, okay? Now, another thing with water that I love to talk about is the fact that hunger and thirst are controlled in the same part of the brain. It's controlled in the brain's hypothalamus. So that means sometimes when you're thinking, dang, I'm so hungry, really is your body saying, dang, I'm so thirsty, I need some water. So dehydration is naturally going to increase the toxins in your body. It decreases your metabolism, and it speeds up the aging process. So, you know, the golden rule used to be just drink 8 to 10 glasses or more of water every day. That's a good goal. Another way that if you wanted to actually calculate it is take your body weight and divide it by 2, and the answer to that is how many ounces you should drink each day. So let's say if you weigh 120 pounds, you divide that by 2, that's you need to drink 60 ounces of water each day. Okay, so just kind of keep in mind what your daily goal of water should be. All right, so behind that, the next question is, can I put some crystal light in my water because water tastes so nasty? Okay, guys, let me tell y'all, when I used to think water tastes nasty until I was down in the islands for a few weeks and it was hot as y'all know what. And let me tell you, I was so happy to drink water. I mean, that's all I wanted to drink. It was hot, so I just wanted to drink water. So, no, the answer to your question is no. That stuff is not as good. If you have to add something to your water, then fresh lemons is the best way to go. Lemon or lime, fresh lemons or limes to add to your water. So, all right, next thing, because I'm floating through here. We already talked about fruits and vegetables, and we're going to keep talking about fruits and vegetables, berries. Now, you guys know, antioxidants, it's all over the place. We've got the acai berry. We've got goji berry, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, cranberries, every type of berry. Guys, I'm going to tell you what, the more berries that you can incorporate in your life is the more it's going to protect your brain. It's antioxidants. Berries are a great source of antioxidant, and they're jam-packed with nutrients. So definitely, definitely include more berries in your diet. I mean, if you don't like blueberries, get strawberries. Find some type of berry that you like and incorporate it into your diet. So that's another tip here. I know I'm covering a lot. The next one I want to share with you guys this year, another goal, drink more tea, okay? Just set a tea time, drink some more tea. Peppermint tea, good for the stomach. Chamomile tea, if you're anxious, you know, instead of popping a Valium, you might want to sip on some chamomile. It's definitely a great tension reliever. Thyme tea, you can get that out of the grocery store and the actual bush and make the bush as a tea, and it's great for bronchitis. It's great for any type of respiratory disorder. So thyme is another one. Green tea is loaded with antioxidants. They've got a bunch of evidence showing that there's so many health benefits to the body and the brain that it may help reduce cancer rates. It can increase your mental function, increase your concentration. So if you get a little dose of that ADHD, go ahead and drink some more green tea. Next one that I'm going to share is eat more omega-3s. Now, a lot of times we don't know the differences between omega-3s, 6, and 9s, right? Not many of us really know what the difference is and which one should we really have. So the difference between the 3, 6, and 9s is really the molecular breakdown. So, you know, there's just more molecules attached to the omega-3, excuse me, to the actual substance. So omega-3s, they're really, really, of all of them, they're the ones that are most important to your health because that's the ones that have suppressed inflammation. And the omega-3s, they call it, they're essential fatty acids because our body doesn't make omega-3s. So omega-3s counteract the pro-inflammatory effects of omega-6 and omega-9s. The omega-6, they're mostly, you can find them in oils like soybean oil, sunflower oil, canola oil. And then the omega-9s, these are the ones that are all over the place because our body actually makes these from unsaturated fat in our bodies. I know I'm getting kind of scientific here, guys, but all in all, increase your omega-3s. Everybody needs them. You can get them in fish. From child to adult needs an increase of omega-3s. There's actually evidence showing that combining omega-3 fatty acids, usually from a good fish oil, along with evening primrose oil, that it can help decrease symptoms of ADHD in kids. So that's a great one. Next one, be happy. Get more vitamin D, guys. There's a lot of vitamin D deficiency going around. And, you know, you ever wonder why you feel happier on sunny days? It's really because of the ultraviolet energy that's coming from the sun, your body absorbs it and creates more vitamin D. So boost your vitamin D intake, another source, fish, along with milk, fortified milk that has this vitamin in there. And with that, make sure you're getting calcium. Now, my last one is, guys, put down the fork. All right? Now, y'all know we got to keep it real here. You want to get healthy in 2011, put down the fork. Most of the time, the heaviest people tend to eat fast. And if for any of us that has had military training, it's like it's brought into your mind that you got to suck it down. Well, we got to pull that back. If you notice that it takes your brain about 20 minutes for it to recognize that your stomach is full. So the faster you eat, the more you can stuff yourself. That's why if you ever see people who are eating like these marathon food things, like, oh, gosh, my show, Man versus Food. I love that show. Guys, and if you notice, in the first 20 minutes of his, he has to go all out. Because once your stomach hits that 20-minute point, your brain starts to realize, oh, I'm getting food. I'm getting full. So you have to definitely take the time to slow down. You know, your mom always used to say, chew your food 20 times, right? And you know what, guys? I'm going to tell you guys, scientific evidence doesn't want to validate home treatments and home remedies. And we like to look at old folks, like what they used to say doesn't make any sense, but because we don't have the scientific proof behind it. But I tell you one thing, there was a lot less incidence of diseases that are occurring now in our families when old folks used to say, you know, you need to drink that castor oil and clean that system out. You know, and I'm not advocating go clean out with castor oil, but my point is that the things that we dismiss now as just, oh, that's garbage because it's you know, they used to do that back in the day and we don't have scientific evidence, there is truth behind it, okay? So at the end of the day, guys, no matter where you are in life, whether you're 22 or you're 42 or you're 62, you have the power to decide how you're going to live today and the rest of your life. So take baby steps and make small changes. Okay, I went through a list of stuff, but if you can just say today, you know, I wake up in the morning and my goal is I'm going to get 25 grams of fiber today, or my goal is 25 grams of fiber this week, or I'm only going to eat meat 3 times a week. Make small changes. I'm not asking you to just turn over a new leaf and drop everything cold turkey, but you need to make small changes and start taking baby steps to take your health back. So that's the crux of what I wanted to share with you guys tonight.
So, alrighty. That's what it is. That was a lot of stuff. But I was taking notes because I needed to have that information. And the part that you shared, I was just typing that in the chat room about the vitamin D deficiency. I was never aware of how serious that is. And I went and had a physical about a year ago and found out I had that deficiency and didn't do anything about it and wondered why in the next year I was having not only the issues in terms of my mood, you know, mood swings and so forth, but also to the point where my body was not absorbing enough calcium. And I was having, I was getting weaker as far as my bones and my muscles. Like, I couldn't even, like, have my arms out so long. My shoulders would hurt. And also my hair started to become very brittle and started to fall out. And found out that was all related to the vitamin D deficiency. So, you know, I was taking tons of multivitamins and other supplements, but because I still had that deficiency, my body still wasn't absorbing everything like it should. So that was a big one. But, yeah, and if you can, I'm sorry, I was going to say, if you can also, you had a couple of questions, I think, in the chat room. So
I was just looking at. I see Splenda and Stevia. Okay, Chris, no, they're not good for you. okay, stevia is supposed to be a little bit safer because it comes from a plant source. Guys, I'm going to tell you what. As a pharmacist, one thing that I always tell my patients is stay away from new stuff, okay? If they have a brand new drug out on the market, they got something brand new, stay away from it. I don't touch it for at least 5 to 7 years, maybe more, before I see what all the side effects are. Because it's going to take just about that long for it to be on the market. They call that stage 4 post-marketing studies, where it's not until they get out here and they see after a few years what the effects are. So me personally, I don't, if it's new, you know, some people might love it, but if it's new, Okay, I got to go. Like, I'm with Billy with his rotary, okay? Tried and true, y'all. So we cannot go.
Okay.
We ain't going to ever let, I'm not never going to let the rotary down, Billy. I just want you to know that. I think that was the last question. That was the question, the main question in there. Okay.
All right. Well, let's move it on to Billy. Billy, what you have for us as far as our spiritual growth this year?
Spiritual growth? Real quick, let me ask Ayo real quick. With the tea, does it matter what tea you drink? Should I stick to herbal or should I just stick to green tea? Does it matter?
Now, the thing about the tea is, you know, I did see a study there today where they were, potency is the biggest thing in the medical community. We can't guarantee potency of the herbals. So I say go with a brand that you trust. Green tea is great to boost your metabolism, give you energy. If you need a little, like, you know, natural caffeine boost, then go with green tea. But I would say mostly the herbals, you know, any peppermint or chamomile, anything like that is safe for you to go with.
Okay. Cool. Well, going to the spiritual. Y'all ready?
We're ready.
I'm ready.
Can y'all hear me? Am I loud and clear?
You are. That rotary is working.
Okay. Well, I want to start off with this scripture. I want to share what God has been talking to me about for quite some, about the last few weeks, actually. And it's about not giving up and about not quitting. And so I'm going to show you in the Word, and because that's what I do, I'm a motivational minister. I break down the Word, make it easy for you to understand where the Bible is not something like a chore or something you don't really want to do, but make it fun and easy to understand, because once you understand it, then that's what's going to take you to the next level. So the scripture I want to share is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So I just want to break this scripture down, and let's milk it and dissect it and get the meaning out of it. And the first part of this scripture says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good." You know, you're doing good things. You know, you're setting goals. You know, you're giving. You're exercising. You're encouraging others. You may be coaching, ministering. You know, you may be just searching for change. And the Bible's saying, while you're doing these good things, don't grow weary. Don't get tired of doing these good things. But notice that scripture says, "Let us not grow weary." That word "let" is an action word that's telling you that you're in control. Let is an action word that's saying this is something that you're supposed to do. So therefore, growing weary or getting tired or quitting is a choice. You know, we all going to face challenges. We all going to have troubles. But we just can't put all the blame on the enemy, or we can't just put all the blame on the challenges. We can't just put all the blame on the circumstance. It's really up to us. It's up to you. He says, don't grow weary while doing good, because you're in control of that. And the second part of that scripture says, for in due season, D-U-E, due season, or a season that's due to you, or a season that's owed to you. There's a season, there's an appointed time, there's a harvest that's due to you. And the next part of that scripture says, we shall reap. It didn't say we might reap. It didn't say it's a possibility that we could reap. But he says we shall or we will reap. But this next word is key. It says if. And that word if is conditional. So this is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, don't get tired while you're doing good. Because there's, for in due season or at an appointed time, you will reap a harvest, no doubt about it. But it's under one condition, because that word if is conditional. If you don't lose heart, if you don't cave in, if you don't give up, if you don't quit. See, you can't quit now. You can't give up now because, see, you're so close. You don't realize how close you are to your goals. You know, there's a story in the Bible where the disciples were in a boat in the middle of a storm. And that's when they saw Jesus was walking on the water to them on the boat. And we all heard the story about Jesus walking on the water. And when Peter was one of the disciples in the boat, he saw Jesus and asked Jesus for permission to walk on the water. He says, bid me to come. Now, this is what you got to realize what's happening. It's impossible for a man to walk on water. But Peter knew that through Christ, all things are possible. So it's like Peter was like saying to Jesus, like, I know I can't walk on water, but if you give me the word, if you say I can do it, I know I can do it. And see, there's a promise in that, because if God tells you you can do something, even though it hasn't been done before, you can do it. If God tells you you can do it, you might as well say, he might as well say you're anointed to do it, because if he says do it, if he tells you to go, that means you're anointed to go. And so Peter said, bid me to come. And Jesus said to him, come. See, one word from God can change your life. You know, one word from Jesus changed Peter's life, and that word was come. And so Peter acted on that word come, and that's what faith is, acting on the word. And Peter stepped out in faith. He stepped out on the water and started doing the impossible. Peter started doing what others said couldn't be done. Peter started walking on the water. And while Peter was walking on the water, the storms grew worse. And see, the storms and the winds, they're symbolic of situations and circumstances and outward appearance. So Peter got distracted by the storms. He got distracted by the outward appearance. His eyes was on Jesus, but then he got distracted and put his eyes on the outward appearance. And, you know, people will get distracted by their outward appearance. You know, people get distracted by their bills. You know, they'll get distracted by their broken relationships, or they'll get distracted by their circumstance. And so Peter got his eyes off of Jesus, and that's when he began to sink. But once he started sinking, he did the right thing. He got his eyes back on Jesus and cried out, save me. And the Bible continues to say that Jesus stretched out his hand and saved him. But what I want to show you is, look how close Peter was to Jesus. It says Jesus stretched out his hand to save him. He was an arm's length away from Jesus. I mean, he was so close, Peter could have stretched out his hand, you know, and grabbed a hold of Jesus. He could have stretched out his hand and grabbed his destination. He could have stretched out his hand and reached where he wanted to be. He was that close, and a lot of us miss it when we're that close because the pressure's on them. You know, H. Ross Perot said, many people give up just when they're about to achieve success. They quit on the one-yard line. They give up at the last minute of the game, 1 foot from a winning touchdown. So you're getting close to your vision. And because you're getting closer to your vision, the pressure's on. If any of y'all watch football, when they kick the ball off to you, to the team, they you know, they catch the ball and they run, you know, and they tackle them. It's just kind of normal. But it's a whole different scene when they're 2 inches from the goal line, because that team is adding more pressure. They're doing blitz. They're doing everything because they don't want them to get to that goal. But you have to be like that offensive team with the ball. You have to apply just as much pressure, even if you have to dive over into it. You got to go full force into it. And so what happens, though, when we see all of that pressure, we see all of that extra distractions, we tend to quit. But you can't. The devil's just trying to throw everything to distract you from winning. He's trying to persuade you to quit, but you can't quit. It's always too soon to quit. As a matter of fact, you should expect pressure and prepare for it. You should expect and prepare for trouble. You should expect and prepare for pain, because the devil is not going to roll out the red carpet for you just because you decided to be somebody. You know, he's not going to give you this free pass just because you decided to fulfill your vision and go after your dreams. You ever heard the old saying, well, you know, the devil's busy? Well, the devil's busy, but God is busier. And that's what we have to realize. Okay, yeah, the devil's busy. He's doing his thing, but we have a busier God. We have a better God. You know, God is the best. And there's another thing about this Peter story, walking on the water. We always hear about Jesus walking on the water. Everybody's listening to the story, heard Jesus walking on the water. Even if they don't know the story, they know Jesus walked on the water. But we rarely hear about Peter walking on the water because we always focus on the sinking part. We always focus on the mistake. We always focus on the failing part. But this is the part you got to realize, okay, he sank, but we focus on the mistake so much that we ignore the fact that Peter walked on the water. Peter did the impossible. Peter did what couldn't be done. Yeah, he sank in the end, but he got back up. And so we have to quit focusing on the mistake. Peter walked on the water, and that did something to his faith. That took his faith to another level because he still experienced the miracle. And so now I understand that quote, and many of you probably heard it before, but it says, I'd rather try and fail than to succeed at doing nothing. And many people never start because they have a fear of making mistakes. And some people that make mistakes quit, or people that start quit because they made mistakes. But you can't quit because you made a mistake. Listen to me carefully. Mistakes are not a signal for you to quit. Mistakes are a signal for you to learn. Yeah, chew on that for a minute. Let me say it again. Mistakes are not a signal for you to quit. Mistakes are a signal for you to learn. But, Billy, you don't understand. My mistakes cause me to lose the battle. That may be true, but if you learn from the mistakes, it can cause you to win the war. See, mistakes are part of the process. See, there's a recipe for success, and part of the ingredients for success are mistakes. So you need to welcome those mistakes. You need to learn from those mistakes. Learn from them quickly, and then quickly move on. And then I'm going to finish with this scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13 in the New Living Translation. It says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. You know, a lot of times when people go through things, they think that they're the only ones who are going through it. They think that this is just me, you know, why me? But anything that you're going through, there's somebody somewhere going through the same thing. And if you're going through it, guess what? You can handle it. Because God wouldn't have allowed it to come if you couldn't handle it. And the other thing is, with every temptation, according to the scripture I just read, with every temptation, there's a way out. With every test attached to it, God won't allow it to come through without attaching a way of escape out. But you can't see that way out, or you can't recognize it if you're mad at God. You know, a lot of times we get mad at God because we're going through this pressure. But the devil's just adding more pressure so you can quit. Don't get mad at God, the very one who can help you. Run to God. Connect to God. And if you connect to him, you can win. Y'all still with me?
Amen. Yes, we're here.
Okay.
Definitely.
I'm going to go ahead and stop right there.
All right. That was awesome. You know, wow. And you said so much in that brief period of time, and I hope everyone's really paying attention to what you were talking about. And at the end of the day, it goes back to the whole beginning of your message about even just sharing the scripture about just walking on water and about being so close within reach of your goals and then not reaching out to grab them. And we hear that so often. You know, it's almost cliche now for us to hear about being so close to your dreams or your goals and then just letting just dropping the ball, basically. But there's so much truth to it. And it kind of goes into what I wanted to discuss because, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about how many times we limit ourselves and we prevent ourselves from getting to the next level, whether it's based on fear or insecurities or lack of confidence. There's so much that keeps us restrained on this little, what I call this, in this bubble or on this island. and it prevents us from growing and from expanding our reach. And that's kind of what I want to talk about as well, is about living on this individual island and what's necessary for us to be able to get off of that island. You know, and when you talk about getting off of the island, it's about the whole mindset piece. And many times we're bound by our own thoughts. We're limited by our own beliefs. And so basically I want to encourage everyone to get off that island of unhappiness and discontent, you know, get off of that island of complacency and self-pity, and do all of that by renewing your mindset. And as we talked about last week on the show, for 2010, that was a very challenging and trying year for many of us. You guys can look in the media now, and you're hearing stories of Ted Williams and so forth, and you see that everyone went through a lot in 2010. But now the question is, what are you going to do to win in 2011? So I'm really going to be asking you a lot of questions to get you thinking outside the box in terms of what can be done differently. If we want different results, of course, our actions are going to have to be different. In order for us to have different actions, our belief system is going to be different as well. And I know Mary Brown once said that preconceived notions are the locks on the door to wisdom. And so we need to be able to get beyond those preconceived notions. And it goes back to what I said at the beginning of this show, that when you come to Mindshift Talk Radio, when you listen to the show, you have to come with an open mind and be able to get beyond your own beliefs. Because you're hearing so many different perspectives. We have so many different guests coming on the show sharing so much information. And if you're closed-minded to it, if you're not willing to listen, if your ears are not open to receive it, you can miss so many blessings. And so I encourage you to maintain an open mind as you listen to the show. But one of the things that I hear, the common theme that I've been hearing when I hear people talking about their goals and their resolutions for 2011 is most people just want to be happy. You know, you went through a lot of trials, you went through a lot of struggles, you just want to be happy in the new year. We post it on Facebook, we send text messages, Happy New Year, but what does that mean? You know, what exactly is happiness? What is your definition of happiness? That's the first step. In order for you to become happy and to live a life of happiness, you have to determine for yourself, what is your definition of happiness? Some people will define happiness as having freedom and good health, or they'll say it's joy, you know, joy that's not dependent on their circumstances, or it may be peace, just having this peace with yourself and having peace with those around you. But at the end of the day, happiness still is a choice, and we have to make the decision to be happy. So I encourage you to ask yourself, what is happiness to me? What would make me happy? In addition to happiness, what brings joy to my life? And once you identify those things that make you happy, that make you happy and bring happiness to your life, then it's time for us to develop a plan of action in order for us to put things in motion to get us closer to that level of happiness that we so desire. And as I said before, a lot of it has to do with our mindset and the way that we think. So there's definitely a need for a renewal of the mind, obviously, because there's no room for negativity. If we want to see happiness, we'll have to make room for those positive seeds to not only be planted but to be cultivated as well in our garden. And I know psychologists say that they say that we can consciously choose attitudes and behaviors that lead us to happiness over unhappiness. And it makes me think about today, for example, I was answering some questions for Billy. Billy sent me, you know, some questions for an interview. And one of those questions was about what motivates me. And I had to talk about what motivates me. And I was, as I was reflecting about my motivation as well as those things that keep me encouraged, a lot of it had to do with my faith as well as those individuals that are in my life. But I also identified while I was writing that a lot of my happiness stems from the experiences I've had and how I've been able to handle those experiences and overcome those trials and those situations in my life. For me personally, that has brought me happiness because I choose to view every circumstance, whether it's good or perceived as not being good, as an opportunity to grow and to learn. And that goes back to what Billy just said in the chat room as well, that quote that's there in the chat room. But basically, it's all about how we perceive situations in our lives. And if you continue to engage in fruitless activities, if you're sitting there watching mindless shows, and many of us are guilty of this, when we know there's something that we need to work on but we're caught up in MTV or BET or whatever it may be, not saying that those shows are not great for entertainment purposes, but there's a time and a place for everything. And I remember hearing my pastor talk about this before. He's like, if you're constantly reading Harlequin novels or E. Jerome Dickey and nothing else, then there's a problem there. We can't continue to engage in fruitless activities because if you engage in fruitless activities, it's going to further perpetuate a whole negative and defeated spirit. And so we have to get outside that box. So I want to encourage everyone that's listening first to make happiness a priority. And we make happiness a priority by engaging in activities that are going to reprogram our beliefs, things that are going to expand our thinking and to reshape our values. So how do you do that? Ask yourself, what are the things that you're watching on TV? What type of television shows are you watching? How much time are you spending watching TV? I know when we had Chris Gloss on the show back last July, he talked about that. Also about looking at your phone and looking at the last 10 people you've talked to on the phone. You know, what are the things that you're listening to? Are you protecting your ears as well as your eyes? Are you listening to rap songs that don't really leave you feeling fulfilled or satisfied or motivated or encouraged? Are you listening to positive positive development, you know, personal development CDs or positive music, whether it's gospel or jazz or R&B, whatever it may be, whatever puts you in that positive mindset, is that what you're listening to? Are you listening to some other stuff? You know, what are you reading? I talked about the books just now. You know, are you reading books that will develop you, that will encourage you, that will expand your mindset and renew your mind? Are you doing that, or are you reading The Inquirer? So you have to be honest with yourself. And I know when I say this, it may step on some people's toes. Some people will be like, well, hold up. What's wrong with me reading E. Jerome Dickey and all that and all, you know, all the time? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but you have to ask yourself, what's right about it? Is it fitting with your fitting in with your desires and your goals? If you have certain goals that you want to achieve, does that fit in that plan right now? Again, there's a time and a place for everything. So you have to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, am I engaging in the right activities that are going to get me the results that I want? Also, in order for us to be able to have that happiness and to win big, as we said in 2011, we have to have that determination and that desire to win. And if you're not striving to improve and to go forward, then there was one quote that I read that said, if you weren't looking to improve, I think it said, if you weren't looking to improve and to grow, then basically the current of this world would force you to go backwards. It was like swimming in a river upstream. So if you're not striving to improve and to grow in every area of your life, you'll only go backwards. And, of course, that's not what it's about. And when we talk about having a happy new year, we talk about having a blessed new year and being prosperous and being productive. So there's no time for us to be sitting here swimming in a river upstream. We need to make sure that we're moving in the right direction. How do you do that? One thing you can do, as I was talking about today in that interview when I was answering those questions, a lot of it had to do with the people that are in my circle. So you have to surround yourself with people that are determined to win. If you're surrounding yourself with people that are determined to win, you'll also be determined as well. There's no way for you to be around positive people with a positive mindset that want to be encouraged and that want to encourage others and for you not to go along with that. Honestly, I can't even remember what I was reading recently. I was reading something, and it talked about it was something spiritual I was reading and listening to, and it was talking about how in order for us, when we think about the Bible, and we read up on Jesus in the New Testament, and it was saying in order for us to become more like Jesus, we have to spend more time with Jesus. The same thing with your sphere of influence, right? If you're spending time with, you know, people on the corner at the liquor store, whatever it may be, then you're going to, you know, take on some of their habits and some of their ways. And that's what it's talking about, is that whole sphere of influence. You have to look at the people that you have in your circle. I was talking to my sister about this weekend, and we were talking about, you know, many people say, well, I don't know how to break out of my circle. I don't know how to, you know, get around the Billy Millers and the Chris Glosses and the Dr. Isles and so forth. I don't have those people in my circle. And that's not an excuse. Because really the only thing that it takes for you to be able to change that circle and to expand your circle is to expand your mindset. As you start to change the way that you think, as you start to develop new beliefs and new values, you'll notice that those people will come into your life. It's what we call those divine connections. We speak about that all the time. But God will move people into your life that need to be there. If you take a look at your life, just really glance back over your life and look at the transitions that have been made, and also look at the people that have come into your life and the people that have left your life. And sometimes it's hurtful to see people leave our lives. But in hindsight, we can look back and say, you know what? There was a season for that person, and that person is gone for a reason. They served their purpose for the time that they were here, and now it's time to move on. So same thing again. You want to surround yourself with people that are determined to win in order for you to win. It goes back to what the Bible says about iron sharpening iron. If you're constantly surrounded with a whole bunch of rusty spoons, you're going to become the next rusty spoon, okay? But iron sharpens iron. So we want to make sure that we're not being restricted to that island of negativity but we want to get off that island, okay? The next thing you have to ask yourself in terms of your determination and your desire to win in terms of your happiness is what's your level of commitment? What are your deepest desires? What is it that you're willing to do? What is it that you're willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to experience to obtain what it is that you desire? You have to be honest with yourself about that. Many people say, well, I want to have the new car. I want to have the big home. I want to have the marriage and the 2.5 children and all that stuff. But what are you willing to do to achieve that? It's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to be about it. And that's the truth. You hear it all the time, but it really is the truth. You have to ask yourself and be honest. What is my level of commitment? How hard am I willing to work for this? Now, I'm not saying everything that we desire has to be hard to achieve it, but sometimes there is going to be a little bit of work that has to go into it. You got to, you know, roll your sleeves up and get into some things. And Billy just talked about that in terms of obstacles and not giving in and so forth and not giving up. So what are you willing to do? What are you willing to put on the line? And what is it that you truly desire for yourself as well as for those that are in your life? But at the end of the day, all of this happiness, determination, and winning and so forth is really based on your perception. And I posted about this on Facebook probably about a week ago, and I was talking about your level of success is really a perception. You know, it's based on how you view things. And for example, one thing is about how you view your life experiences. I talked about all the challenges that people had in 2010, but you have to ask yourself and you have to determine, are you going to take those challenges and say, okay, well, I can't do anything in 2011 because I lost my house, I lost my job, my husband left me, whatever it may be. Are you going to look at it that way? Are you going to say, you know what, those things happened, but I'm better equipped to win in this new year because now I don't have to worry about a mortgage anymore. I don't have to worry about cleaning up behind my messy husband or whatever it may be. I don't have to worry about that car payment because the car got repoed. It really is based on your perception of how you choose to conceive everything that's going on around you. For example, Lance Armstrong, this was really powerful. I was reading something about Lance Armstrong. And they asked him about his success and what made him more successful than those around him. And he said that cancer was his secret, that was his secret weapon because none of his rivals had been that close to death like he had been. But it made him look at the world in a totally different light, and that was a huge advantage for him. So he didn't sit there and say, okay, I'm defeated because of cancer. He looked at it like that was an advantage to me. No one else that I was, you know, riding against or none of my opponents had been through that except me. So they didn't see life the same way that I saw life. They didn't appreciate life the way that he appreciated life. So look at every situation you're going through. You can either choose to look at it as a disadvantage or an advantage. It's totally up to you. Even the recent story of Ted Williams, another great example. He had a rough year. I was listening to him talking on the early show, and he was talking about how he had a very rough year in 2010, and he went through a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations. But he said it was still a blessing for him that he still considers 2010 to be a great year for him because it was the year that he grew closer to God. And for that alone, he was thankful. Everything else that is happening now, the job offers and reuniting with his mom, all of that was just extra for him. But he said just because he was able to grow closer to God in 2010, that was enough for him to praise. That was enough for him to spend an hour a day with God on the side of the street and just spend time in praise and worship. We have so much more to be thankful for. Ted Williams was out there on the street holding up a cardboard sign. What do you have going on in your life that you can be thankful for? It's so easy to get caught up in what we don't have and what's going on wrong in our lives, but are you spending the time just being appreciative of what you do have? You woke up this morning. You made it out of 2010. You praise God you got to see 2011. There's so much to be thankful for. Look at the small things as well as the big things in terms of your level of appreciation. And again, at the end of the day, it goes back to our mindset, you know, and be very careful about the things that you allow to enter your mind. There was this quote by Henry Bergson, and he said, the eyes see only what the mind is prepared to comprehend. So if your mind is not prepared to receive anything, if you don't feel like you're capable of obtaining your goals and of achieving your goals and living a better lifestyle, then when those opportunities are presented before you, your eyes won't even see it. You will be blind to the successes and the opportunities that are presented before you because you haven't allowed your mind to even conceive that it's possible for you to have it. So in order for you to get off of that negative island, as I said before, you're going to have to change your perspective, you're going to have to change your view, and you're going to have to ask yourself some really tough questions. You'll have to be honest. honest with yourself about what it is that you desire and what you're willing to put into it. And I hope I'm not going too long with this. It's just I'm really passionate about this because you're hearing the stories. I'm sure you guys can relate to this. You know, Io and Billy, I'm sure you can relate. You're talking to friends and family members, and people were really beat up last year. But we want people to be encouraged. We want you guys to be encouraged and just to know that there's still an opportunity. If you don't remember anything else I shared with you, just remember Ted Williams. That way if you get off this call or you stop listening to the show, you can Google Ted Williams, and that story is enough to remind you that you just need to be encouraged. Stay in it to win it, and I guarantee if you just open your mind up, open your heart up, open your ears up, there's so many opportunities that are going to flood you, and you will not miss them. Do not miss your opportunity to win in 2011. Don't do it. So that's pretty much it that I have, guys. I know I kind of went on. Billy, Io, is there anything else that you want to share before we close the show out?
Mm-mm. You held it down. No, I ain't got nothing to say.
Only thing, there was a comment in the chat about the water, and I just want to say, guys, just take baby steps, okay? When you put your weight, and it can sound intimidating, but take baby steps. Right now, if you're only doing 2 ounces, if you go up to 8, that's a good step. So just start somewhere. That's right, Chris. You dropped the mic. Since the big bones, why is this call only an hour?
Wow. Thanks, guys. All right. Well, I guess that's pretty much it. I don't have anything else to share with the listeners for tonight. Io, you were awesome. Thank you so much for the information you shared in terms of health. I was taking my notes, and I do have some more questions to ask you about fiber offline.
Okay.
Right now. And Billy, as always, just you earned your title. I know when Billy, when Chris first called you the motivational minister, it was like, wow, that was pretty cool. But you have definitely earned that title. I'm just so thankful for you in terms of the spiritual nuggets that you share and help us. Because truly, in order for us to win as well, we have to make sure that we're winning in every area of our lives. And so we talk about that spiritual growth, that mental growth, that physical growth, and healing as well. So I think we just pretty much brought it all together, and I think we just served up a full, complete meal.
And you said you got to surround yourself with people to win if you want to win, and that just stuck with me. And I'm just glad to be surrounded by two of the hottest women on Blog Talk Radio.
That's awesome. Well, guys, we thank you guys for tuning in. As always, we encourage you to follow us online. You can go to Facebook. We have the Mind Shift Talk Radio fan page on Facebook as well. You can also reach Billy Miller, the motivational minister, and Dr. Io Kedar as well on Facebook, the Natural Zen Diva. And again, share these shows with other individuals that you feel may be blessed and may be able to benefit from the information that we share. We encourage you to always go back to mindshifttalkradio.com to listen to the replays. I want to tell you guys, you have to be here next week because we're going to continue this flow about success and growth and development and winning big this year. We are going to have Mr. Chris Gloss as our guest on the show next week. If you guys missed it last week, go back and listen. He ripped it last week. All of our listeners, all of our guest speakers did last week. And we had so much great feedback about that show last week. So we encourage you to be here next Monday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, mindshifttalkradio.com for Mr. Chris Gloss. So that is it. We wish you guys a safe, blessed, productive, prosperous week, and we will speak to you guys same time, same place. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mind Shift Radio.